Okay, well, guys, lots of changes, lots of neat things happening at Crossroads. Even though it's summer, you can actually get things accomplished in the summer. And Travis, come on up. Travis is our new youth pastor, Travis Brubaker. We prayed for him, and we met him about 6 weeks ago. I made a phone call. He filled out something online, and I called you. And Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, we were meeting. We didn't have breakfast. Okay, but we were meeting, and I called one of his references after that, and I was like, Lord, this is the guy you have for us. Now, you're going to hear his story, how God was orchestrating all of this behind the scenes as he shares his sermon. But he spent his first month working part-time with us, and then on June 1st, we offered him the opportunity to come and join us full-time. Now, we had been interviewing him during that first month, but they were interviewing us too and making sure that this was the place. But God has made it clear to us and to them that he is to be our youth pastor, and he's accepted that. And Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, he did a big summer kickoff, and I'm telling you, I saw energy in this room that just brought the biggest smile to my face. He had 40 students that came out. At least half of them, if not more, had never been here before, and they were here, and Travis, we're excited for you to be our youth pastor, and even more excited to have you share the sermon this morning. So give Travis a hand.
Thank you so much, Joe. I will elaborate a little bit on the Wednesday night. We had a great time. We did all kinds of really crazy activities. We had a little bit of a setup in here. We brought in some video games, a foosball table, some ladder ball. We had all kinds of stuff that we had brought in. And we even had a massive snowball fight. Which was fun to watch for sure. Very tiring from the unanimous no when I asked for a second round. I said, "Hey, let's do a second round." Everybody literally looked at me at the exact same time and said, "No!" But I just want to say thank you to the Pace team. They did a phenomenal job in helping to set up and get everything prepared. They were running around the stores with me to help find everything that we needed. And Ellie and Marie actually balled up the 1,000 pieces of paper for the snowball fight, which we did keep, by the way. We did not waste, I guess that'd be about 100 trees or something like that. I'm not sure. But we are keeping that for a later use at some other time. But if you could just give them a hand, because they did a phenomenal job getting it set up and really helping the vision come to life. So thank you. I also wanted to say thank you to the church and to Joe for bringing me in, and for the belief that you guys have had in me and for the encouragement. It's been phenomenal. You guys have been so welcoming, so generous, and so kind to my wife and I as we've come in. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. It's been a great, it blessed my heart, and has really encouraged me to go strong and do everything I can. But I just want to introduce my wife, Tasha. I didn't introduce her in the first service. She's awesome. She is the life. She is the energy, that I get. When we first met, we were very opposites, didn't particularly, have interest in each other. But God orchestrated something different, and now we've been together. It'll be 10 years this month. So, and also my mother-in-law is here today. She came to encourage me today and then also to support me, so thank you. I like to call her mom as well. So as we grow up in life, we learn about a lot of different exciting things, right? To me, some of the exciting things that I found out about were Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I met with Dave Winchester this week, and we ended up talking about Star Wars for at least 15 or 20 minutes, somewhere around there. Just the enjoyment of it. You also find out about superheroes, which is a really popular thing right now, so that falls right into my niche. I've always been a nerd with the comics and stuff, so now that it's a popular thing, yay for me. But you find out about planets and just the expanse of everything that's out there. You also find out about a lot of really neat opportunities and jobs that you can get when you grow up, like an astronaut. Everybody always dreams of being an astronaut, getting to walk on the moon and kind of have that weird jumping bounce kind of thing that they always show, or fighting fires, or being an actor or an actress, or singing, which I really wanted to do that, but God did not give me a voice to sing, so I was doomed with that one. But luckily, we have people like Tanya that do have that ability, because if I was on the worship team, I guarantee all of you would leave and never come back. So, as I was growing up, I caught my first vision of the thing that I wanted to be. I had a dream, and that first thing was to be a bus monitor. My dad continually reminds me that this was the first dream that I had. And the reason that I got this dream in elementary school was because I used to ride the bus to school, and there were the coolest kids on the bus. The fifth graders that got to stand up and walk up and down the aisles as the bus was moving. And then they would tell the kids what to do. And I wanted that power, and I wanted that freedom to get up and walk. Unfortunately, I missed my calling on that one. I never reached that level of cool, so I decided to give up on that dream. But as I started to get older, there were some other dreams that I started to develop. I wanted to be a cartoonist. I loved to draw cartoons. I used to make up all kinds of characters. One of my pride and joys was me and a couple of my friends decided that we were going to make a superhero for every holiday. My favorite one was Earth Day. It was a giant globe with a mean face and had massive muscles that were coming out the side of the world. So I moved on from that. I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to do a voiceover. I used to love cartoons. So I thought that'd be cool to have your voice in a cartoon show. And there was a lot of different things that I just kind of developed over time that I really wanted to do. And it's crazy how God can guide us. And as we start to get older, there's different passions and different dreams that God begins to share with us. And things that we begin to just develop, and it's just like, man, I want to do that. That's awesome. That's really something that I feel that I could do. And we need to trust in God that he put these things in us. And I want to start off with the verse in Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you." Now, when I look at this, I know a lot of people hear the heart's desires, that God will give you the desires of your hearts. But what I think this is really saying is that as you get close to God, as you begin to trust in him, he will begin to plant passions and desires in your heart. And then as you begin to chase after those and go after those desires, those are the desires that God will give you. The desires that he's planted in you, the calling that he's put on you, as long as you trust in him and keep pushing towards him, he will bring those desires to your heart. And then when it says, commit everything you do to the Lord, every day, no matter what you're doing, make sure you commit it to the Lord and give it to him and just listen to what he has for you. So as we begin to develop these things, the reason that we need to trust in God is because God knows you well. God knows you better than anybody else will ever know you in your life. God knows everything about you. There's no detail that is hidden from God. God created you and everything about you. He created your physical being. He created the personality. He created those weird talents that you have that you don't want anybody to know about, which a few of mine, I can wiggle my ears, which if I did it right now, nobody would see it. So if you want me to, I can do it for you later. I'll put on a little show. But I also can do voices. How many of you like Monsters, Inc.? "Where's your paperwork, Kazowski? I'm watching you. Always watching." Or maybe Lord of the Rings. "The walking pool is nice and cool, so juicy, sweet. Only wishes to catch a fish, so juicy, sweet." I did something like that in high school for my acting class. I got a little bit more into the acting and was crawling around. It was a lot of fun. People looked at me a little weird, but it's all right. When you go into acting, you got to be ready for the weird, right? So God knows your strengths and your weaknesses too. God not only knows them, but he also created them in you for a reason. And it's always so easy to talk about your strengths or to let people know your strengths, because those are often the things that are going to shine through. Those are the things that you push forward, but those weaknesses that you have are something you try to hide because you feel that it brings you down or it takes you back. But that's really not the case. I was with the PACE team this week, and they invited me to be a part of their Bible study. And the scriptures that we went over this week were 2 Corinthians chapter 12, which talks about where Paul is boasting about his weaknesses and saying that we need to boast in our weaknesses because our weaknesses are what where God can show his strength through it. So in our weaknesses, God is strong. I've always considered my greatest weakness to be the fact that I'm a very super introvert. I've always been kind of withdrawn. I've always kind of kept to myself. And when I get into a place with a large amount of people, I get drained very easy. You can ask Tasha. Sometimes when we're in a group of people, I'll just stop talking and just sit there. And she'll look at me and she's like, it's time to go, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it's time to go. But it's also that whenever I get in front of people and try to speak to people, I get extremely nervous. So she was also telling me in the first service, because during worship, I was getting a little bit more energetic than I typically do. And she's like, you all right over there? I was like, yeah, I'm just trying to shake out the nervousness. But you know what's incredible? Is that despite the fact that I don't like large crowds, I don't like speaking in front of people, God still called me to youth ministry. And if you know anything about youth ministry, you're constantly in large groups of people, and you constantly have to speak in front of people. So that is how I know that God has called me to this, that God has prepared me, and God has given me the strength to do this, because this honestly is my biggest area of weakness. So God knows all of these things about you, and he also knows the things that you love and the things that you desire. He can see into your heart. He knows the things that you care most about. He knows the things that you love to do. And I believe that he's birthed those in your heart because it's going to lead you towards your purpose. It's going to lead you towards where he wants you to go. I want to share a scripture in Acts 15, verse 8. It says, God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. But I just love how it says that God knows our hearts. He knows what's truly going on. He knows where he wants to take you. He knows what you love. And I believe that he truly put them there for a reason. Over the past couple of years, one thing that I've really dove into was Psalms 139, and I want to read 1 through 18 for you. It just really talks about how well God knows us. So as I'm reading it, I just want you to think about it and hear the words and just know how much God loves you and cares for you. Psalm 139, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and the light are same to you. You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, but how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O Lord. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. God knows you so well. He created you. He created everything about you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows where you're going to go. He knows where you've been. And I just love how it just dives right into the fact that there is no place that you can go anywhere that God is not with you. So in that, he knows every detail. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows everything that you do, but he still loves you. I love that. I love that. And I love that line where it says, you have made me so complex. I love the way that that is, because that's truly how he's designed you, is he's made you complex. That's why we have these weaknesses, and that's why we have these strengths. That's why we have these talents and these passions. He made us so complex, but it's all for a reason. God gives you these passions and dreams so that way you can do something for him, to begin to live them out, to do extraordinary things that he's called you to do. So I know that there is a reason that maybe you have a talent to sing, or maybe you have a talent to speak, maybe you have a talent to counsel people. There's all these reasons that they've been given to you to glorify God, to reach out, to reach as many people as you can. Sometimes God begins to inspire these dreams or these passions in literal dreams. I always think about the story of Joseph. Joseph, there's no way that this guy could imagine that he would be the second most powerful man in the world next to Pharaoh as a kid. But God gave him two different dreams that began to set him on the path of what God had called him to do. As a child, I had all kinds of weird dreams. Some of the times they were funny, sometimes not. I even had dreams where sometimes I could get a hold of it and manipulate the way the dream has gone. I don't know if you've ever done that before. It's kind of weird. But I used to dream in week strands where there would be 1 week of the same type of dream. There was a week where I literally died in every way possible. Shot, stabbed, drowned, burned. Each night it was literally a different way that I died. And then there was another week where I dreamed about the end of the world, the rapture, the apocalypse. Every single night it would be a dream about the same thing, but it would just be a little bit different. There was even one, as I was dreaming, God sent me back to earth to help the people that became Christians after the rapture happened. I don't know if there's a purpose or a plan for any of these dreams. I'm hoping the killing part is not part of a real life or something for my future. But if that's God's will, then okay. But sometimes God also introduces us to our passions and our dreams through people or situations. I've never, in my childhood, ever thought that I would be a pastor. I never thought that I would be a youth pastor. I never had a desire for it. It's like, I do not want to talk in front of anybody. But we had this event at school where we actually got to leave school for a day and go to a church. And at this church, we got to pray all day and listen to different speakers. Well, in the morning, I saw this one kid that I knew was not a Christian. His name was Nick. And I went. I walked up to him and said, "So, why are you going today?" And he's like, "Just to get out of school and just a little curious." But by the end of the day, Nick came up to me to receive Christ for the first time. At that moment, in 11th grade, was when I first felt my calling to youth ministry. That feeling of introducing to somebody to Christ for the first time is something I knew that I wanted to do with my life. And I know that there's a lot of kids out there that need to know the love of Jesus. From that moment on, I pressed forward, and that's what I wanted to do with my life. And as we continue to go on, as we continue to chase our passions or our dreams, there's always going to be things in life that come against us because there's an enemy out there that does not want us to pursue the passion or the calling that God has on our lives. So there's going to be a lot of things that he begins to send our way. There's going to be situations or there's going to be people that are going to come into your life that are going to tell you that you're not good enough or that you shouldn't be doing this or what you believe is not right. So why would you ever pursue that? Sometimes it comes from the people that are closest to you. Sometimes your families are the ones that can tear you down the most because you trust in their words and a lot of the things that they say are the things that impact you the most. I can remember one time as I was sitting down at a family dinner, a very close family member of mine looked at me right after I had been accepted to Bible college and said, "Are you sure you want to do this? You're never going to make any money out of this. Why would you want to do this?" And it impacted me. It began to tear me down. And I was like, well, I mean, that's not really the reason. But still, you begin to think about it. You let those words in your head. Maybe it's not a family member that said it. Maybe it's a friend of yours that has just said, "Why would you do that? Why? You don't have talent in that area. Why would you want to do that?" Or maybe it's even through jealousy that they are jealous because of things that you can do. And so they begin to tear you down because they're not going to be able to get to where they want. And then there's always the idea that strangers can tear you down. With the way that this world is, and the way that it's headed, there's a lot of people out there that don't believe the same things that we believe and have started to come against it. So what happens when this country starts to head in a direction that's not of God, and then all of a sudden people and strangers start mocking you for what you believe? Are you going to let it tear down, or are you going to push forward and go for it? There's always going to be things that are in our way. Joseph had this same thing that happened to him. As he had these dreams that God showed him, one was when he was out in the field with his brothers and his stalk rose higher than the other ones as though they were bowing down to him. The other dream that he had is that the sun and the moon and the stars all began to bow down. And when he shared this with his family, first his brothers, it says that they started to hate him even more. And they started to plot against him. And then when he shared it with his dad rebuked him and said, "What, are we to bow down to you?" There are people in your life, people that are supposed to be close to you, that can tear you down. But I really want to encourage you that as people begin to try to tear you down or try to tell you that what you're doing is not good enough, always remember that God has called you to it. God has put these passions and desires in your hearts for a reason. So never lose sight of what God has called you to. And there's many different reasons as to why we could lose sight, why we could lose the desire other than people. Maybe in life that you're not where you thought you'd be at this point. Maybe you try to evaluate your life, you look at it and you're like, "Man, I am not at all where I thought I would be at this point." I can remember about 2.5 years ago, Tosh and I moved to Pennsylvania. We were going to go up there. We were trying to be a light to my family, and I wanted to get up there. I thought I was going to get a ministry job. I felt that it's what God wanted me to do. I started working at Chick-fil-A for $9 an hour trying to support my family. And I just remember, what is going on here? Where am I in life? I did not think that I would be coming up here and working at Chick-fil-A. Things didn't work out. We ended up coming back down here. I've been working in a furniture store for 2 years now. Just finished that on last Saturday. But I just remember thinking to myself, is this where my life is? Is this all now? And I talked to the PACE team about this, and I shared with them that right before I found out about this job opportunity and right before I applied for it, I was literally ready to give up on my dream of being a youth pastor. And I was just like, all right, I guess God's done with me. And then, like Joe said, I applied on that Sunday. Tuesday, got the first interview on Wednesday, and the rest is history from there. This church has saved my dream, so thank you. You know, it's Joseph has really been a theme over my life for these past 2 years, and I'll talk about him a lot today, but at this point in time, after he shared his dreams, his brothers came with a plot that they were going to kill him, but instead they actually threw him down inside of a well and then sold him into slavery. And after being in slavery, something happened with his master, and he ended up being put in prison. And then being in prison, he had an opportunity he thought to get out, but then the guy forgot about him. I can imagine after having these dreams of people bowing to him and of dreams of grandeur, and then all of a sudden you're a slave and then you're forgotten in prison. I'm sure that is not where Joseph ever expected his life to be. Maybe right now you're just caught in a place in life where you're just like, I don't know what to do. I feel empty. I feel like I'm not doing what God has called me to do. I encourage you, don't give up on it. Just as I said, I was about to give up, and then this opportunity happened. You never know when that opportunity is going to happen for you, so never give up on it. Other reasons that we could lose sight is that we begin to doubt ourselves, or we begin to question, you know, if we're good enough for it. We start to allow those weaknesses to be something that takes us away from God, that takes us away from what he's called us to do, instead of actually looking at them as a place where God can shine through for us. Don't allow those weaknesses to tear you down, but allow them to lift you up and know that God can fill in the weaknesses where you can't. I look at several men in the Bible that we look up to greatly, and there's many times that they've questioned themselves and they've doubted themselves. I mean, you look at Moses, this great man that set his people free from slavery for over 400 years. He said, I can't talk. I stutter. There's no way that I can do this. And he questioned God, but God used him anyway. Then there's Gideon, who said, my clan is the weakest one. My family's the weakest in that weakest. And then I'm the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. So you're looking at the wrong guy. But God took this man and he saved his people. Then we even look at David, who this man, he was anointed to be king. Next thing you know, he's hiding in caves, running from a man that he once loved and looked at as a father figure because he was trying to kill him. I can imagine David did not see himself in that place after he was anointed king. Never question or doubt yourself if that's what God has called you to. Maybe it's that you have sin or shame that you're hiding. Don't allow those things to keep you back from what God has called you to. Don't allow those to hold you back, because God can use a testimony. God can take those things and turn it into a testimony to help somebody else that's been going through those same things. I encourage you, if you're going through something or you have secret sin, find somebody to help you and get out of it, and allow that to just get out of the way so then you can push forward. But if you keep waiting and saying, I'm never going to make it to my calling because of these things in my life, if you keep saying that, you're never going to get to your calling. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on God and have him direct you to somebody that can help you through. Another reason that we can lose sight is because maybe we feel that we're too young for the calling. Maybe we feel at a young age we are called to something, but then we never pursue it because we don't think we have enough influence because of our age. But it's not a case that you're too young or too old. You still have the ability to fulfill your destiny and what God has called you to. When I think about the fact of you may say you're too young, let's look at Josiah in the Bible. Josiah was a king that became a king at 8 years old after his father was assassinated. 8 years old. Taking over an entire kingdom, and not that he just take over the kingdom, but he found the Bible, he read it, and then he began to change the entire kingdom for the good of God at 8 years old. Then there's a lady that used to go to our church. She actually is a missionary. She's actually stayed at my mother-in-law's house. Her name is Loretta Kolb. Her husband passed away when she was in her 70s. And at that time, she felt the call to become a missionary. So she went to Bible college at age 75 and is now in Kenya, riding on the back of motorcycles from village to village, sharing the name of Jesus. So there is no age that says that you're not good enough or it's past your prime or anything like that. It doesn't matter what age you are. If God has called you to something, trust in him and get up and go do it. And just know that God created you for these things. God knows you better than anybody else. He put these things in your heart for a reason. God created these dreams and passions to start to lead you on your path. And there may be people that begin to tear you down in life, but never lose sight of where God has called you to. And in his timing, when the time is right, he will begin to open the doors for you. Sometimes when we feel the doors open and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, not this one. There are times where God will close the doors because it's not the right time. It's not the right place. But when the time comes, the doors will open. And Ecclesiastes 8:5 says, whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything. Although man's troubles lies heavy on him, never allow anything that's heavy on you. Never allow anything to get in the way, because when the time is right, God will begin to launch you into the direction that you need to go, because he created you for a purpose and he will bring you to that purpose. And when those doors do open for you, I want to leave you with this. When those doors open, it's your job to go through. To never miss that opportunity when the door opens, or never think that you're good enough or anything like that. When that door opens, it's your job to go through. Even though it may be scary, even though you don't know what's on the other side of the door, one thing that you can know that's on the other side of the door is God with his hand out reaching to guide you through the next steps. So don't be scared to go through that door, because God has called you, God has opened it, and God will lead you. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So know, when that door opens, God will guide you the rest of the way. I want to go ahead and pray over you. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the words. Thank you for the encouragement to let us know that you are here to guide us and direct us through life. Lord, that you do not just create us and just let us go out there in the world aimless. But God, you create those dreams, passions, desires in us because you have a place and a purpose and a time for us. So God, I pray for anybody in this room that has felt your calling on their lives. Lord, that they would not doubt it, that they would not run from it, but Lord, that they would begin to go after it and chase it with everything. And as they do, that they would glorify your name and give you the honor and glory that you deserve. God, we thank you so much, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.